everybody. Welcome to Bid Nerd, your daily nerd out on the most interesting car of the day from all the automotive enthusiast auction sites. My name is John Polnick, along with my partner Michael Deeb. We are here in the Rami studio in the Container Park in downtown Las Vegas.
Shout out to Rami.
That is correct. Usually my partner is in San Francisco, but you came out to see us in Vegas. Thanks, yeah. Buddy. What's up?
Oh, dude, I love it here. Got to bring my dog out to visit the sports chiropractor at Agape. Shout out to Dr. B. Shelby's limping around, our producer, so she's taking a nap on the floor. And I figured, hey, man, let's just make a whole weekend out of it and come see you, and we'll record together in studio, which I don't think we've ever done.
Yeah, I think we've tried it maybe once or something like that, and it failed miserably.
At the inception of the concept of the idea that you had, yeah. In the fall of 2020, I remember we would be in different rooms of your flat, you know, out here. And we were doing it on Instagram back then. Do you remember that?
I do.
And
that's
it
right,
didn't work if we were in the same room. So even though we were together, we had to separate ourselves. So, I mean, like, we've never done the show across from each. And what's hilarious is, as Rochelle edits these things, she'd be like, tell Deeb to look at the camera, because I keep looking at you and not the camera. I want to talk to you and have this conversation, but it's not like good. It's not good copy. So anyways, I'll learn. I'll figure it out eventually. Sorry, Rochelle.
It's all good. So like, we're here in the Rami studio. You guys have never been here before.
Oh, this place is so cool.
It's a pretty cool
at the
space.
Container Park.
Yeah, we really like it here. But the thing is, usually when we do pods in here, I usually have Mikey or Mental Ward over at the at the big desk, over at the producer desk. When we do Bid Nerds, I usually just have Patootie producing, and it's just, you know, you're patching in, and I can do it from this seat. We weren't really equipped to have just two of us in studio, where usually I need a third person over there for this thing to work. So we were patching gear together for you guys. We're doing all this work for you people, and all you got to do is subscribe. And some of you, come on, man.
Yeah.
You know how much junk we got to get? Subscribe, for crying out loud.
Smash the like button.
We know there are a bunch of you who watch the show but don't subscribe. We really appreciate you guys that are watching. We really appreciate you guys that did subscribe. Thank you so much for being part of the nerd herd.
Both of you.
Exactly. I think there's three now.
So
the bum in the alley just got one of those free Obama phones or something like that, so he's got the internet. So he subscribed. He's like, hey, why not? They give us all the old, the stale stuff. You know what it is when we record the Dirt or Die Porsche podcast? It's another channel you should check out. It's a new channel that we just started. Chef from the Red Rock Country Club always brings us food. He brings us like this big vat of chicken wings.
Just to hang out with you and Wick would be fun, but now that I know there's food involved, I'm telling you, I'm going to rent an apartment. I'm not missing another one. So
it's like he has a wheelbarrow full. It's like, dude, there's five people in here. Why do you bring all this food?
Thank you, Chef. Even though I haven't had any yet, thank you, Chef, for being so generous to my friends. Shout out to Dwayne Wick. Love your podcast.
Actually, you know what? Shout out to Chef William at Red Rock. Yeah. My birthday was this weekend. We had a big, huge dinner, and he hooked us all up. So thank you very much again for that. If I haven't already, Chef.
I'm missing everything.
You are, man.
California,
what are you doing?
California is terrible. And then when all you guys are having fun and I'm not here, it's even worse. So I got to talk my wife into moving
back. You can't even drive your cool cars anymore.
No, you can't even buy a cool car anymore.
Yeah, it's not even allowed. All right, guys, what do we do on this channel? What we do is we find the most interesting car of the day from all the automotive enthusiast auction sites, including P-Car Market, Bring a Trailer, and more. We dig through those sites so you don't have to. We find the most interesting car. We have a conversation about it. We make a prediction as to what we think that car will sell for. And then, boom, we get into our time machine. At the end
DeLorean.
Of this episode, you will be able to see how much the car sold for. When we record the show, we don't know how much the car – this is before the auction closes. Yeah. When the show's we go back and we record the second part, so you can just like, boom, right in the future, you'll know at the end of this episode what happened with the most interesting car of the day. And today's most interesting car is indeed an interesting car because it's a transaxle Porsche. We don't talk about or see these very often. What do we got here, Michael Deeb?
John, I really like these cars. I've never owned one, and I feel like you've given me pause and said be careful about the reliability, but let's talk about it because we haven't covered one in a while. On Bring a Trailer is a 1994 Porsche 968 Coupe. And what's so interesting about this car, is how many of these cars were ordered for the North American market with a Tiptronic transmission, but this one is a six-speed manual, and it's a beautiful color. It's a aventurine green with a cashmere leather and a black dash and the optional 17-inch cup wheels. I think this car looks good. I think these cars drive good, and then I'll wait for you to poop all over them as ownership and reliability and maintenance, because I don't think they're the maybe the best Porsche to have in your garage. But man, I've never owned a 944, and we talk about this in when we were in high school, like what's the car that got you going? When I got to high school, and then it was like the steering wheel and a manual transmission were attainable, and my dad had like a 528 BMW with a four-speed manual. I didn't crave a 911. I wanted a 944. And then, you know, by the time I'm in my early 20s and I still couldn't afford one, the 944 evolved into this front engine, four cylinder, rear transmission, you know, perfect balance, just this beautiful car. And I think this is a really pretty car. I've always loved them. I know they're not the most powerful, but I just think they'd be a really fun car to drive on a back road. And I still haven't had that opportunity with all the Porsches I've driven. I've never actually had my hands on one of these. So this one came up. It's just got 38,000 miles. The car is offered to us right in my own backyard in San Jose, California. Beautiful car. Not a lot of stories. Interesting colorway. Actually, John, this will make you laugh. The car was sold in Burlingame, which is right by San Francisco's airport. So Rector Porsche sold this car when it was brand new. That's like, you know, in San Francisco, there's not a Porsche dealership. So there's one right across the Golden Gate Bridge, and there's one just south of San Francisco. And I feel like they're both my two home Porsche stores. I know Randy Hill, who has worked there forever, like 40, 50 years. Chances are it's a 50-50 chance he sold this car. But this is like from my home store. So just anyway, really neat car, beautiful colorway. What do you have to say about this? Like, would you let me buy one, or would you be like, don't buy one of those? You know, it's got this problem or that problem. Or would you be like, you know what? Grab one, have fun with it, and then move on.
Now, I'm not quite sure where you got that from.
Maybe it's Frank that tells me not to buy one. Frank only liked the basic 944. He didn't like the 3-liter 16 valve, and he said something else about these too. Maybe it was
Well,
Frank.
I mean, they certainly are a more complex car than the earlier 944s. These are like spaceships compared to the, you know, the olden days. The original 944 had that 2.5-liter, you know, inline four. With a solid, you know, eight valve head
and a huge counterbalance, right? Yeah.
But they've always been really balanced cars because the transmission was in the back.
Right.
That does cause some technical issues, like replacing a clutch on a transaxle car is a very laborious endeavor, right? Because a lot of stuff, you know, you've got the engine, you've got the transaxle, and then you've got the transmission. So you've got all this stuff going on. But what that does is that spreads the weight to both ends of the car. Unlike a, you know, something like a mid-engine car where all the weight is kind of in the middle, this car has all the weight way out of, you know, hanging out of both axles. So it is kind of a weird driving car.
Unless I'm in the driver's seat.
I resemble that remark. So the old 944s, you had to rev the living daylights out of them to get any power out of them, but they're great. They're torquey. You know, the 2.5s were, you know, that's a big four cylinder, right?
It is.
By this iteration, we're talking a 3-liter, you know, 16 valve four cylinder engine. So that's about as big as you get for a four cylinder. You also have a very very complex head. You have glass lined cylinders. So you're talking about a much more, you know, like you have a lot more head gasket problems with these. You do have cylinder score problems with these because of those, you know, but that's not, don't let that all scare you away. You know, unlike a 911, like maybe a 996 that has an IMS problem, where if one of those problems happens, it grenades the whole engine. You know, that would be an expensive problem to have one of these engines need a head gasket, but it's not the end of the engine.
Good.
You know what I mean? And you're not talking $30,000 to repair one of these. You're just talking about some maintenance issues that you got to be aware of. You want to know if the driveline, you know, has been updated, if the rear end, a lot of times the rear ends wear out on these, but you know, it's just all old car kind of stuff. And know that maintenance is not going to be inexpensive. The guys at the independent Porsche shops that work on these really like seeing them come in, because they know they're going to, you know, pay for their kids' college when you bring one in. But again, that sounds terrible. These are actually a pretty darn reliable car. It's not uncommon to see these with 200,000 miles on them. But you know, you're just gonna have to make sure you're on top of it, and they'll be good to you. They are terribly fun to drive. 6-speed G50 transmission.
I know, right?
Yeah, I've never owned a 968. But I've owned a bunch of 944s. I remember getting a 944 from a guy. It was a one owner 944. It was an 85, and this was probably in like 93 or something like that. And he had just bought a 968, brand spanking new one. It was the first real one I'd ever seen. He had them parked next to one another, and I didn't like them in the pictures, but in real life, I was like, whoa. So, yeah, I don't know. What do you think it's worth, though?
Well, that's a good question, right? So we've got several days to go. We're early in the week on this one. Low miles, 38,000 miles. It's sitting, John, at 26,500. Let me click over here and tell you that that is on...
I'm sorry, what was that number?
26,500 on just 4 bids. Mm. But this car's got 6 days to go before it closes. When it gets there, I think $60,000 is totally in play here because of the low miles and because of the unusual colorway. And obviously because it's a manual. If it were Tiptronic, if it were guard red, I don't think 60 would be attainable. But I think with these low miles, that color and that transmission, I think that is a true possibility. John, I want to present something else for you. So, you know, I cheat because I have to come up with the initial numbers. So I use some price guides to give me an idea of what the values on these cars are. When I was looking at Hagerty, sometimes they give you value adjustments. And so on the 968, there is a plus 30% on any of the values, depending on the condition. Plus 30% if it comes in one of these special colorways: Speed Yellow, Riviera Blue, Maritime Blue, Ruby Stone Red, and Amaranth Violet. 30%. Have you ever heard of such a thing? Like, we know Paint to Sample brings big money, but now on Hagerty, they're saying 30% on 968 if it's one of these really cool colors. That's a jaw dropper to me. That's unbelievable.
What is the deduction for driving like an a-hole and leaving your hand on the shift lever?
Yeah.
We're showing a little
bit
of
We'll have to pencil that in. Wikipedia, we have to add it to the value guide.
For sure. Yeah.
50%, by the way, is the number on that. That's my number.
50, yeah, I'm with you on that one. Does this color count as a special color?
Well, certainly
it's not Paint the Sample.
No,
that
it's
was
not.
This is a common color for the era.
So it's very period correct. So if you're, you know, like Guards Red or India Red, as it was called, in the early 70s, that color has been with Porsche forever, right? Just like a light silver or black. So if it's that color, does it really harken to the era? No. But if it's a 968, which only made for a few years, and it's an aventurine green, which is so period correct to that era, wouldn't there be some premium for that?
That's just a fancy way of saying Honda Accord green.
Yeah.
Because that's really the color it was. Like every single...
Well, now we're opening up a whole other debate. I agree with you. I
hate that.
Personally,
color.
I don't like aventurine green. Yeah. It's not I wouldn't really want my car in that color, but it is definitely correct to the era, and I think that part is kind of neat. But actually, those colors that I listed below that Porsche would pay a big premium for, man, I'd go crazy if it was any one of those colors, and I probably would pay the 30% premium for that, to have it in Speed Yellow or Riviera Blue is my favorite, to be honest. And
Riviera Blue would
Ruby Stone. I don't even know if I've seen one of Ruby Stone. I feel like Ruby Stone would have been reserved for a CS that would have been offshore, you know, a European
Although
car.
I don't know if I've ever seen a CS that wasn't red. That's a tough. I mean, look, these are all over the place. These have never really caught on. The prices of these 944s in general just don't go for big money.
Silver Rose is the only car I know that 944 that's broken $100,000.
Yeah, you know, and that one had super low miles. Now, if this were a CS or one of the turbo, those turbos, what, literally the 2 dozen of them or something?
Not
like that?
Even. I just feel like five or something.
Yeah, there's just so few of them. This is
I'd love to drive one. Yeah.
Yeah. My buddy Kelly up in Idaho, the guy who's just
Smith, right?
Again, Kelly. Yeah, Kelly Smith for selling me his 86 911 that I just got. He has a red on black and tan one of these, and he had the wheels, he has the cup wheels like this, painted red, so it looks like a CS. He didn't put the CS badges on it. He didn't try to cheat like that. Yeah. But you just look at it and you're like, if you know, it looks really cool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Normally, I would never say red wheels are always terrible. But given that this car kind of has a special, that's an homage to a very special version of the car. It is immaculate. So, I don't know. What's your number?
60 grand to you, JP.
60 grand.
I think it's going to hit it because of the miles, the color, and the stick. Even if the color is not my favorite color. You know,
if it were one of those, Miami blue or Mexico blue or one of those bright colors, those colors count as hot. This color, I just don't think it's in that category. I think it's really cool, and I think there's definitely people that will really like it. I like the colorway. I like, if you're going to do this green, having the black and that really caramely looking kind of tan looks fantastic.
Yeah. It's an elegant car.
Yeah, it really is classy, but it's not flashy like those, like the big purple one or something like that.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go under. I'm going to say 50. I'm going to go 10,000 under.
Wow. Big under.
I mean, because usually that's these are only like going for like 25 for a decent one.
I know, but the miles.
With much
the
higher
stick,
miles. This is
if
miles,
this were yellow Riviera blue, I would think this would be an $80,000 car.
I agree with you, actually. Yeah, I just don't think the green is. Gets that kind of. I don't think the green is something.
Grand.
If it were a
humbug.
Viper green or some, you know, something like that type of green, it would be a different story. But I just don't think this.
My partner will be visited by three ghosts in the next 24 hours: Christmas past, Christmas present, and Ruby Stone future.
Oh my gosh! What do you guys think out there? Now is the time for you to plug in your bid. Do we know what we're talking about? Probably not.
I do.
But we're going to find out. I don't know. Are we going to find out about this?
We will.
Think so. Oh, hey, look, I put the donut in the wrong place. There it is.
Okay, guys, I want to tell you about Vegas Auto Fest. The drivers are coming. This is one of our big sponsors. It's the biggest car show of the year in Las Vegas. It's one of the coolest car shows you can possibly experience anywhere. If you haven't made plans to be part of Vegas Auto Fest on September 17th, then do it now. Go to VegasAutoFest.com and register your car. You think you're a car enthusiast? Doesn't matter where you live. Plan a trip to Vegas on September 17th and come out and see this show. It's like Monterey Car Week all in a day. Have you ever been to the Quail? Have you ever been to Works Reunion? Have you ever been to Amelia Island? All those car shows are amazing and great. Have you been to Luftkult? Sure, but Vegas Auto Fest is something special. Make a plan for September 17th. We'll see you in Vegas.
And we are back just in time for Michael Deeb to get a fuzzy jacket. Look at him. You look very cozy in the future there, Michael Deeb, in your San Francisco place. Yeah.
By the time you watch this, it's going to be cold where you are, too.
That's entirely possible. It's never going to be cold here in Las Vegas. It never gets cold here. We're getting ready for Life is Beautiful this weekend, which if you're watching this episode, Life is Beautiful already happened. So if
I know,
something
right?
crazy happened at Life is Beautiful, you'll be able to go, oh, hey, that was a, I don't know. I'm sure Life is Beautiful is going to be a great shindig this year.
Should we start referring to it as Life Was Beautiful?
A little past tense action there.
Yeah.
Very nice. Okay, well, look, I'm kind of, this result today, this one stumps me, man. I don't get this. What is going on with this 968?
Listen, we just had this on the Ferrari. Would people pay premium blue Ferrari? Again, 5 years ago, they would have been like, people would tell you not to buy a blue Ferrari. Like, whatever you do, don't buy the blue Ferrari. And now I think people pay a premium. That 355 GTS sold for over 200 grand, and you and I were like, wow. So here we have this Aventurine green 968 with a manual. It's not like a sexy looking car in this sort of weird color. It is, which I was making earlier. But JP, you said, what did you say, 50 grand on the car? I said 60 is the retail number. The car sold for $65,000 on 30 bids on Bring a Trailer. I'm not surprised if that's what they go for. I wouldn't pay this for that car. I would rather have one that looks more sporty than this. This doesn't look sporty to me. This looks like a hippie mobile from the early 90s. You know what I mean? But
yeah.
But if it were you know, speed yellow or Mexico blue, I'd be all over it. But then if it were that color, would it be worth even more? Would it be an $85,000 car? According to Haggerty's, the answer is yes. So, yeah, and there you go, JP. That's what they're worth. If they got a stick in low miles, you're paying 60.
We got to get Paul from AutoCanal back on the show sometime. We were talking to him at one of the DWA drives a while back, mm-hmm. and I remember him talking about like the 944s and the 968s, how some of them, the special ones, have mm-hmm. crept up to these numbers. Because, you know, like we said before the break, regular 944s, even S2s and stuff like that, when they're in nice shape, they're barely worth more than 20. You know, if they hit 30, it's amazing.
Amazing.
You know, so a 968 is just a 944 with a facelift. I mean, and a better transmission. Sure, the engine has some updates. It is a better car.
And like 3 more horsepower.
Yeah. And, you know, Paul said it really well when he said that, look, you know, because he sells some of these, you know, they come through his doors. He sells a lot of cars over at AutoKennel. Check out his website and what he happens to have in inventory. He never has anything in inventory because he brings something in. Most of the time he gets something and gets sold he even finishes cleaning it. Yeah.
Yeah. When you go to his website, there's a section about coming soon, and those are like the 4 or 5 cars he's got on deck. Yeah. If you're interested in one of those cars, you call him when it's before anybody else can see a photo of it. If everybody in the world can see a photo of it, it's too late. You missed the car.
Yeah. But he said, you know, these aren't $100,000 driving experience. They're not a $60,000 driving experience. You buy something like this and you spend that kind of money, it's like, they're great. They're really great cars. But what makes them great is that they were used to be a great value. If you couldn't afford a 911, this is something that you get, right? It was an entry-level Porsche. This was the Boxster of its time before the Boxster came out.
It really was, actually.
Yeah. So
That's a good analogy.
And they really are great cars, but I don't know. You know, my friend Kelly, I think I mentioned him before the break. You know, he has one up in Idaho. We saw him this weekend when we picked up the 964.
The wheels.
Yeah, and some wheels. But this thing, his car is beautiful. His has the red with the red wheels, so his looks like a
Club Sport. Yeah, you mentioned
that. Yeah, that's so cool. I don't know. Yeah, these results, what do you guys think out there in interwebs land? Did you play along with us? Did you put your bid before the break and see if you were better at this than me or Michael Deeb? And if you were, maybe we'll send you a prize. We don't have any prizes. Maybe we have a sticker or something like that. DM us, we'll send you a sticker.
Yeah.
Michael, we'll send you a sticker.
We'll send you a very nicely worded direct message.
968s, 964s, 96s, all the nines, right? All these Porsche numbers, they all just kind of like blob together. But I would still like to get one of these one day. But I just don't think
I would too.
If the prices came down on them, you can get a nice one for maybe in the 30 range. Okay, but
twice as much? I don't know.
That seems crazy. All right, guys. Well, we're going to end this episode, and we will see you tomorrow with a brand new episode of Bid Nerds. See ya.
Nerds! Get those nerds!